John saw while walking along, a lame man begging alms by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are
in store. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board on a busy Wednesday. It's nice outside, though. Dropping off, going to be cool. 51 right now, going on down for a cold evening. Glad to have you with us. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And again, thank Him for His blessing here on Wednesday, the fourth day of the month of December 2019. Love to hear from you this afternoon. To do that, you can text us at 577-1296-828-577-1296. You can call us at 828-884-9427. And you can do that. Brianna has phones this afternoon. And so give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And again, appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Traffic coming out of Asheville, not good. How do you know? Just come from there. I chose to come 25. I called and asked Adam. And by the way, you're welcome to do that. If you're not sure of the traffic, what's going on, you're welcome to call and ask the announcer. They know all the time. It's a touch of a button. And so I called. I was leaving Mission Hospital, and he said 26 is bad all the way down. It's about all the way down to the parkway. And said there's a wreck down there, and said it's just been bad all afternoon. So I opted to come 25. It was not fast, but at least when the red light would change, it would move. So I came 25 and 280 is how I got back. But I just did walk in. I mean, literally walked down the hallway to the microphone. Didn't have time for anything. So, yeah, and I left Asheville at 10 after 4. So, yeah, it's a journey this afternoon. So starting in the junction, it's very slow. And then it's slow from there past the river till where you start up the hill toward the parkway. And then it turns into moderate, and then it'll turn green and good from there all the way to the airport. Going the other direction, moderate traffic around Lake Julian, slowing down to slow traffic up the hill toward the parkway. It's back moderate down through the straight to the French Broad River, and then we're good shape, normal speed, all the way into Malfunction Junction there at I-40. 40 West has some issues this afternoon. Not bad, just off the pace. 40 West between 44, 43, 42. That's got some congestion. Sardis Road's in decent shape. I wished I could say the same for 191. And what's unusual about that, wait a minute here. What am I seeing? Okay. That's 191 going in. Okay, I see where I'm at. Yeah, we got quite a bit of traffic backed up, oddly, from Bent Creek into the outlet malls. That's all real slow through there. That's going toward Asheville. Coming out of Asheville, you got moderate to slow traffic from the Arboretum down to Clayton Road, and the intersection to Avers Creek's about normal. Remind you, the parkway is closed south and west, heading toward from 191 up toward Pisgah is closed down, okay? I mentioned 25. It is it's heavy traffic, so it's stop and go, of course, due to the red lights, but it's all moving. 25A, it's about the same shape, all the way down to Mills Gap, and it's the interstate slow always puts pressure on those two highways. Coming out of Asheville, or coming around Asheville, the west side, it is slow from around the Asheville Mall all the way around to get to the intersection there and the bridge. 26 coming down to the intersection is good. 26 going in and out of Asheville is good. But 240 again on the westbound side is slow, as it is every day this time. A little bit of a slowdown around the Asheville Mall eastbound, but you're soon past that and looking good. All right. I mentioned, too, the parkway's closed from the Folk Arts Center all the way up to the top of the mountain there. And so, yeah, it's parkway's shut down. Top of Black Mountain looks good. 26 into Tennessee looks fine. Everything westbound on 40 looks good today. Can't see anything far west. Everybody looks pretty good. So, okay, I do have a report that I-26 eastbound. Let me take a look at that. I-26 eastbound. This is actually going down the mountain. Or maybe it's not yet to the mountain. Okay. Yeah, it is. It's going down the mountain. I-26 in Polk County, the left lane closed 2 miles west of exit 66 due to a disabled vehicle. So from the Saluda exit on I-26, if you go down the big straight and through the big curve at the bottom of the hill, where Indian Mountain Road crosses over to the monument, just past that, you've got a disabled vehicle, and it's got traffic down to one lane down that steep stretch where you can see where you got the big view. Yeah, and it's going to be one lane till it gets in below, starting into the big curve at the bottom, and then it picks back up. So that's what's going on there. That's what's wrong. If you see problems, eastbound 26 on Saluda Grade, disabled vehicle in the road, got one lane shut down. Yep. All right, let's see what else. If we go to Greenville, 385 is in pretty good shape today. 85's got its normal congestion from the airport back down to 385, but you got a little bit of northbound today as well, and it goes up to about Pelham. So from 385 up to Pelham is slow today on 385 north, or on 85 northbound, excuse me. And then 85 south, a slow spot around 276, and then slow between 291 and 25. That's become a daily routine. Again, I don't know what's causing that, but it's just started happening over the past few weeks. And we've got several wrecks to tell you about. Bowling Springs Road and Davenger Road, there's a wreck there. There's also another one, Haywood Road, excuse me, and Pelham, wreck there. And what else is going on in Greenville? Looks like other than that, we're in pretty good shape this afternoon. Zooming over to Spartanburg, well, you've got your normal slowdown from 176 west till you get to I-26 on 585. But other than that, everything is looking pretty good. Pretty good. If we ever get all this road construction done, it's gonna make a big difference, I'm sure. But I'm just not sure I'm going to live long enough to see it finished. I'm just going to be truthful with you. I'm beginning to have my doubts. Yeah. Well, let's see here what's going on. We've still got our wind advisories in effect until tomorrow morning for the northern mountain counties of western North Carolina, as well as, the border counties of Tennessee. We've got from starting with Yancey, and then it goes up and picks up Burke and Avery. It'll also pick up Caldwell, and then it goes on up Watauga, Boone, up through there. And the high wind, we're putting a little bit of wind this afternoon. Let me see if I can see what we're reporting here. Our latest report out of Asheville was, north winds at 12. And, of course, we've been having gusts quite a bit higher than that. But what it's done is it has taken a decent temperature, decent temperature, and has dropped that thing down, and it has caused us, the wind chill to be colder than that. And we're gusting to 32 is the highest gust we've seen at the airport, and with north wind right now it's at 18, gusting to 32, and that puts our wind chill down in the 40s and even low 40s. And when it picks up that fast, it gets it on down into the 30s. Yeah, and when the sun goes down, it's going to get even rougher. About freezing tonight, and then we're going to see mid-50s right through the period, through the first of the week. And we're going to see temperatures down around freezing in the mid-30s, but we got a little chance of rain coming in Friday night, maybe just a little chance Friday afternoon, then Friday night. But then there's a pretty good chance on Sunday night, but the temperatures are going to stay up. So that was the snow that everybody was looking at to see what was going to happen there. Just too warm. Only going to get around 40, but there's a very good chance of rain, probably not only just Sunday night, but also into Monday and Monday night, even into Tuesday. Matter of fact, we'll even go into Tuesday night. Now, right there is something to think about, because our low is going to be down around 32. Depending on when the rain gets out of here, Tuesday night, we have a very real possibility of some snow showers. Ground's warm. Don't believe it's going to be a big deal. And again, it's all about timing. Depends on when the front gets out and the precipitation, you know, gets out of here and the cold weather comes. But you'll see a notable difference by Wednesday. Monday night's low is 48, but Wednesday's high is only 48. So behind this rain for late weekend, early week, it's going to be cool. Yeah, going to be cold. So we're going to keep an eye on that, especially that Tuesday night thing. I don't give it a great, you know, it's just a thing. So it's not like a storm or anything like that. It's just a thing. And so don't expect a whole lot out of it. 94.9 and the Anchor Broadcasting Network, being sponsored by Adam Nicholson, and it's in memory of his grandparents, Henry and Gaima Nicholson. Appreciate Adam. Of course, he's our announcer here this afternoon, and we appreciate him being a sponsor here today. Thank you very much. Appreciate that very, very much. All right. Well, let me change just a second, if I can, and tell you that our birthdays today, Miss Angie Brown, also our very own Samuel Shabdu, one of our leadership team. Keisha Miller is celebrating. Vicki Davis and Clay Norris. Saw Clay last, not before last. And congratulations to all these folks. And Jack and Susie Connard celebrating 55 years of marriage today. May God bless you. Remind you of the Christmas parades. Coming up this weekend. Hendersonville at 10:30 Saturday morning. Brevard at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Rosman, I think about 2 o'clock on Sunday, December the 8th. And so 21 days left to Christmas. It's going fast, isn't it? Well, let me just look at my calendar here while I've got the calendar out. And let me invite you to something. We have not done a big production in several years. And so we're going to put on one this year, a dramatic production, and we're going to be doing a Christian Christmas Carol. And it is an adaptation, of course, of the classic Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's going to take place on December the 13th. So it's not this Friday night, but a Friday week, December the 13th, at Anchor. It's in the downstairs. It's in the cafeteria. And we'll have full prop stage, everything. And that occurs, I think the time is 7. I believe that's right. And then we'll have an encore performance on Sunday night, the 15th. So if you can't come on the 13th, we encourage you to come on Sunday night, the 15th. There'll be light refreshments served following, and of course, you'll get to meet the cast. And there's been a lot of lines memorized and a lot of things in preparation for this. My wife is directing the play, and many of the folks that you know from the ministry here are involved. And so again, that is a Christian Christmas Carol. Adapted from the original story of Charles Dickens. And so that's the 13th, December the 13th. And then again, we'll have it again at 6 p.m. on the 15th, Sunday night, the 15th. Invite you to come. It's free, no admission charge, and we're glad to have folks come and be with us for that. We did it several years ago, but it's been several years since we have done that, and so But that's, yeah, we're looking forward to that and invite folks to come. Lotta, they started practicing, started working on this toward the end of September, first of October. So, yeah, they've been a lot invested, and so we're glad for that. All right. Well, appreciate you being on board. Appreciate God's goodness and grace, and appreciate the blessings of the Lord here on a Wednesday. I just come back from Asheville, one of our congregation had back surgery and doing well. I actually got to see him doing well, and so we're glad for that. We're glad did well there, and then we are very much grateful for the Lord's ongoing blessing and certainly his help in time of need. We're certainly grateful for that. I wanted to take just a moment. I've got to do a little more research on it, but the Pope has mentioned us. Yeah? And I say us, I mean, a pretty broad term. He basically, in a negative way, singled out evangelical Christians. Somebody said, well, what is an evangelical? Well, if you were in South America, you would be, if you're a Baptist or Pentecostal or any of the folks who try to get other people saved, you would be considered an evangelical. That's what they would call you. But the same is true here. I guess the same definition would hold. Evangelical Christianity are those branches of Christianity that believe that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Pope made a statement and called evangelical Christianity a scourge. That we were a scourge to the world. And the context was, they think now that both Protestant and Catholic, they think most of the way has been paved for the reuniting of the Protestant denominations that are not evangelical Christians back to the Catholic Church. And they're also talking about inclusion of many of the world faiths. And, of course, we know that's going to happen, don't we? From prophecy, we know that's going to happen. And as a result of that, we're considered a scourge because it's evangelical Christendom that is preventing a one world religion. And I'm just tickled to death that he realized that. I'm glad that he knows enough about it to understand that yes, we're not going to go with that. We're not going to put up with that. That's not going to happen. We will never surrender our autonomy to the one world church and to the world council of churches and all the other things that go with that. That's just simply not going to happen. So I was glad to see that. Well, can I deviate just for a moment here? I wanted to recognize some folks that are on with us this afternoon. We want to welcome, I'm not 100% sure at this. Let me see if I can bring it up here, and I'm not sure that I can. Let me try it one more time. I believe that it is Goldwater Air Force Range. Yeah, the Goldwater Air Force Range in Arizona. They're with us this afternoon. We welcome them. We've got, quite a few folks scattered out. Georgia's pretty strong this afternoon. The Philippines are with us, Mabuhay. Well, who else that I need to mention here? We had Brazil there just a moment ago, but about the time I said it, they quit. Maybe they're shy, didn't want to recognize. When I sat down a while ago, we had the Russian Federation and Brazil lit up. Right now, we got the Philippines, France, Honduras, Canada, the United States, and again, a moment ago, Brazil and Russia all listening in. So we welcome you. We sure do. Gate City, Virginia, glad to see you all on board. Hinton, West Virginia, also. So some folks that we don't see every day, glad to see you. And for those we do see every day, we welcome you. Appreciate you being on board. Thank you very much for joining with us here this afternoon. Well, I was reading a interview with the Vice President of the United States. I like Mike Pence. I'll be honest with you, I never have liked Donald Trump as far as his personality. I don't care for him. I like his policies, but I never have liked him, his personality. But I like Mike Pence. He is, I guess you would say he speaks softly, but he carries a big stick. He was doing an interview on Fox Business, and they were interviewing him and asking about, a lot of things. And, of course, it's the Business Channel that's dealing it. And here are some facts that the Vice President throwed out that I thought need to be repeated. The stock market of the United States, the stock market has grown more than 50%. More than 50% in the past 3 years. And where that makes a difference is for people's pensions, that almost all of it is invested in the stock market, and people's 401ks. Somebody says, well, I ain't got no money in the stock market. Do you have retirement coming from a business? Chances are it's invested in the stock market. Does it affect you? Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, do you remember the crash? 07, 08, do you remember the crash? Wiped out some folks, wiped out almost their entire life savings in their 401ks. So, yeah, it makes a big difference how people are going to live for the rest of their lives. And so 50% increase, people's pensions, 401ks. More Americans are working than ever before in the history of the country. Never seen anything like it. This is the best economy for American workers in our lifetime. There's not been a better one in our lifetime. In the past 3 years, the average household income has grown by $5,000 a year. A year. The average household incomes have grown by $5,000 a year in the United States. Wages have risen across the country, and the unemployment rate is at a 50-year low. It is the lowest ever recorded for African Americans. It's the lowest ever recorded for Hispanic Americans. Pence went on to say that the reason it's happened, the tax cuts on individuals and businesses, the historic rollback of regulations, they're still in the process of doing that. The unleashing of American energy. I shared yesterday, the day before, how that we became an oil exporting nation for the first time for 30 days recently. Recently, yeah, for the first time in 70 years. And, of course, with that, that's even with, and he pointed this out, all of those numbers are even with the president getting tough on trade with China. He's also got tough with Brazil and Argentina in the past couple of days, primarily because of the devaluation of their money. And as a result, it is, give them an unfair advantage. And so, Pence, I'll quote Pence when he said this. Even we have done all of that, even in spite of the leveraging our position trade-wise with other nations around the world. Pence said, quote, I think it's that combination that's working for American workers, that's working for the American economy, end quote. And then he goes on to talk about, he said, that as we go forward with the negotiations, whether it be with France or whether it be with Japan or our ongoing negotiations with China, the American people can be confident that this president will be willing to use access to this economy and use tariffs to put American jobs and American workers first. Vice President Mike Pence. So, not too bad, not too shabby. And, of course, you do know that if President Donald Trump were to be impeached, which the likelihood of that's very, very slim. Now, when I say that, let me say being removed from office. So let me go there, okay? To be impeached means they're going to bring charges. To be found guilty of those charges and to be forced out of office, that's an actual impeachment. There have been three impeachment proceedings in history. One of them stopped when Richard Nixon stepped down. The other two, Bill Clinton was found guilty, as was, I think, Andrew Johnson. But they did not prosecute by removing from office in either case. So it was more of a slap on the wrist. But just so you know, Mike Pence would become the president of the United States for the remainder of the term, should they be able to carry it out. Now, you have to have two-thirds of Congress, or two-thirds of the Senate, to vote to remove him from office. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Do they have the votes? No, they don't. They're going to have to come up with a whole lot more than they've got if they plan on swaying that many Republicans to move over. Don't see that happening. But the point of the matter is, Mike Pence is one of the most active vice presidents that we've ever had. He is probably more of the CEO of the administration. The president paints in broad strokes, and then he leaves the details of carrying out his proposals to the vice president. This vice president, it reminds me somewhat of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. The difference is George W. was soft-spoken, easygoing. Dick Cheney was a very aggressive, a very bust-your-head type guy, and he would, if you didn't go along with the president, then he'd show up on your doorstep, that type of guy. He was the bulldog. Well, the roles have reversed in this president and vice president. Donald Trump is very much the bulldog, whereas Vice President Mike Pence is the negotiator, and he's the guy that gets the job done, and he's very much, you know, and I know people who know him, and they tell me that he's very real, and that he is very slow to anger. He's very well calm, collected individual. He can be very stern, but he doesn't get mad easily. And so far, they have not been able to catch him in a lot of gaffes as far as what he says. Now, if you'll remember, they have painted vice presidents, particularly conservative ones. They painted Vice President Quayle, who was one of the more intellectual guys that have sat in that office. The media played it out that he was a dunce. But in fact, just the opposite was true. One of the more studious and one of the more intelligent VPs that we've ever had that was in the place. But the media was capable of spinning that. And basically, to do that, they basically shot down any, you know, future aspirations he would have to pursue the White House. They were afraid of him, very much so. His wife, I met his wife. I met Mrs. Quayle. Very well-spoken lady, very, very learned, very Well, she was the second lady. I mean, and she carried herself extremely well. So I did get to meet the vice president's wife back when he was in office and was very impressed with her. And it was, but what I'm, I guess that what I'm trying to say is that the media thus far, of course, they've picked on Mrs. Pence for teaching in the Christian school. They've picked on her a little bit. But for the most part, they've been too busy attacking the president that they really don't have time to fool with Mike Pence. But on the other side of that, it is give him the opportunity to get some things done. And so behind the scenes, when you hear all this stuff, it sounds like Washington's in absolute chaos. That's what it sounds like. But in reality, there is, every day, there is a concerted effort to carry out the plan, to carry out the platform, to carry out the promises, and they're being done. The President of the United States made an unexpected visit to Afghanistan on Thanksgiving Day and served the troops. And somebody said, big deal. Well, you got to understand that he did that in the midst of all of this clatter and all this clamor, and they gave him almost no credit. Almost no credit. Today, there was a report that came out that the president somehow or another was coming away from the NATO summit with his tail tucked between his legs. And even Fox News gave that indication. And that he had been mocked or something, and that he was coming home with his tail between his legs. That is not what, that's not what the other press are, that's not what they're saying. That's not what some of the other world press organizations are saying at all. As a matter of fact, he, if anything, he came into NATO and was in his typical style, you know, busting heads, calling people out. And no evidence of meekness or shyness or tail tucked between legs that I can see. And, you know, well, he didn't stay for the final press conference. So, and as far as the French president mocking him, I would say what Donald Trump cares about the president of France is about the same, he is on about the same level as Nancy Pelosi in the president's book. Now, I'll just be fair with you. I'd say they're pretty well on the same page. President don't like socialism. He don't like liberal socialists. He just don't like them. And I don't either. So we have that in common. We do. We have that in common. That's one thing he and I agree on. There's several things we don't, but that's one thing that we agree on, is that socialism will be the Khrushchev's fulfillment of his promise that we'll take over America without firing a shot. And, I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me that in the United States that we would even allow someone, I mean, that even to run. It don't even hardly make sense in my book. Well, and the reason I say that, if somebody from the American Communist Party were to run for president, and of course they do, they have a candidate every year, they never make the ballots anywhere. But I guess the question is, if somebody ran on the communist ticket, would people vote for them? And the answer is yes, they would. Yeah, they would. They would do that. There are a handful. But if you will dress it up and call, you take a pig. What was it that the governor of Alaska said, Sarah Palin? You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Isn't that what she said? You can put lipstick on communism and call it socialism. That's what Russia did. They call it the United Soviet Socialist Republic. That's what they called it. And to make it even nicer, China calls their system, and of course, you know, they have a, theirs is a money-making communism, and they call theirs the, what do they call theirs? They call it the Republic of China. the Republic of China. Problem is, you only get one candidate to vote for. So it's a republic in that everybody gets to vote, but you don't have but one choice. And they keep record of who votes how. So just saying, yeah. Yeah, what a mess. Let me just look here. I never can remember to look over at at my iPad. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you so much. In traffic on Highway 25, when will the traffic clear? Let me look back. I'm sorry I didn't see you till now. Well, you're on 25. You're going to be fine once you get, you're going to be fine. It's stop and go under the parkway on 25 down to, what's that right in there? Chick-fil-A. You know where Chick-fil-A's at? Once you get past Chick-fil-A, you're good. But coming out of Asheville, I was stop and go all the way back. I run into it just as you get past the interstate there, come under the interstate. And I was stop and go to Chick-fil-A. And then from there on, it was clear. The interstate has eased up some. It's still slow, but it's not very slow. Okay, it's still slow, but it's not very slow. And there's been a wreck on 25 on Sweeten Creek. Where's it at? Just south of 40. Can't give you exact landmark. It's right in there around, I can't even tell you what the name of that road is. I don't even see a name of that road. At the intersection, Rock Hill. At the 25A at Rock Hill, there's a wreck right there. And that's 25A, and I don't know which side it's on, but the southbound's the one that's slow. On the other side, Rock Hill, you still got a pretty good ways. Get under the parkway there, and then you've got down to Chick-fil-A, and it'll pick back up and come on down for you. It'll lighten up. Okay, all right. What else? Somebody said, what if Pence runs for president in 2020, and Trump is his VP? No, don't think he'll do that. But the goal, and it's not about removing Donald Trump. It's not what this is about. It's about making sure that he or none of his philosophy make it back into the White House. And one of the Democratic strategists said publicly last year, said, short of impeachment, Donald Trump is an 8-year president. He said, short of impeachment, Donald Trump is a two-term president. Short of impeachment, Donald Trump is a two-term president. A Democratic strategist said that. So they, took the playbook, page out of the playbook, and said, okay, let's impeach him. So, well, what can we preach him for? I said, well, I don't know, we'll find something. So they keep looking. I keep reading and listening and reading and listening. The ones that I'm amazed that Joe Biden is still in the race. I'm amazed that he hasn't dropped out in shame for his part in this, that's got all this stirred up to start with. Of course, liberals, they don't have any shame. What shame? I didn't do anything. And you just deny it and it goes away. I didn't do it. And then for a conservative, they just throw something against the wall so they can get something to stick. And that's basically how they do it. So anyway, that's sadly, but that is where we are. And that is a sad thing. Somebody asked me about Christmas lights. Where are the Christmas lights? Well, somebody might can tell me, I saw an ad for Shadrach's, but the ad must have been wrong. Because the way I understood it, it said it was in Tron, the way it talked, but then it said Mill Springs and in something, but something wasn't even near Mill Springs. So I don't know. Somebody tell me where that's at. Where's Shadrach set up at this year? The Arboretum's got lights. Lake Julian's got lights. Where else? I can't think right off. We don't do the lights anymore. We're not having lights. So I'm not sure. Somebody asked me, said, well, how come, preacher? Well, number one, the cost. the manpower, and the aggravation. Lots and lots of aggravation when it's free. Spent a lot of money and got a lot of folks come through, but just a very, very difficult to maintain. Those computers that run those lights and all that stuff susceptible to water. You're trying to do all that outside and it's raining and you got stuff shorting out and people coming through and they're calling telling you your lights are out. And so just just a deal. Of course, there's lights in Sevierville. There's lights recreation center in Sevierville. Well, of course, there's all kind of lights in Sevierville, in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, all that. Yeah, that's always beautiful. Of course, Dollywood, lights are on at Dollywood. If you buy a season pass for next year, you get to go this year. So they throw in Christmas if you buy a season pass for next year. And, yeah, they got good shows, lights, everything else at Dollywood. Always a treat for the kids. All right. Well, we're coming up on 6 o'clock, so it's about time to go. Church tonight at 7, and so I've still got to go home and change, though. So I've got to get out of here and get turned around. We appreciate you being with us. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord and appreciate God's blessing here on a Wednesday afternoon. Ask you to pray. We're trying to get all the details for a 40-foot container of Scripture. Get it out of here. We're trying to get it out next week, if things would work out. So pray with us about that. And then also pray, we've got two of our churches got hit. One in particular hit badly in the Philippine Islands. And Brother Joel Harado, his house, just had put a roof on his house, was damaged from a previous hurricane. And put a new roof on his house, and this storm took it back off. Yeah. So, you know, there's thousands of dollars of damage at Joel Harado's place. So anybody would like to do any disaster relief for the Philippines, Vanny doesn't have a lot of damage. He is trying to do a lot of work in the community, though, with some care boxes. About $15 provides a care box. With Joel, he's got structural damage. Again, he's got roof damage. All their paces got wet for their school. A lot of their school supplies got wet. So, yeah, pretty bad storm come through there just a couple of days ago. Everybody's okay, but they're without power and don't know how long it'll be before power's restored. And they're also without water. So that's a big issue, especially with the populations that those communities have. That's a big issue. Okay? Remember them, if you will. We'd appreciate you doing that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask and pray for your help. Lord, for your divine will to be accomplished. Lord, more than anything else, we're asking for the mind of Christ. And Lord, that we might know the mind of God and be content with knowing your will. Help us, Lord, I pray, as we seek the face of God. Pray for these that are hurting, these that are sick, these that are bereaved, these that soon will be. For the victims of the storm in the Philippines.